Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
A scallop shell, walking sticks, and a young woman from Nebraska. Let's find out what this is all about. Hello, Mataki Epi. Welcome to Hochoka, here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host. Today, we're talking with Kim Schneider. She's a graduate of Mount Marty University. She's the St. Joe's Religious Studies teacher and on the Mission Integration Team. This was a summer of pilgrimage for Kim, and we invited her here to share her experiences with us. So, Kim, a warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us here in Hochoka.
Thank you. It's a dream come true to be here.
Absolutely. Isn't it for everybody?
Yeah.
And it is for me, too, to have you here. So
Thank you. This is cool.
We're going to hear a good story today.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a little game here on Hochoka. It's called Rapid Fire. We do with guests from time to time. I'm going to give you a prompt or a question, and you're going to give me a one-word, two-word brief answer, okay?
All right.
Okay, so your favorite food?
Ice cream or fruit.
Okay, your favorite music?
Meaningful music.
Very nice. Your when you were younger, you?
I played in the dirt a lot.
Okay. A failure is?
Giving up.
Okay. Success is?
Learning from mistakes.
Secret indulgence?
Sappy romance movies.
Sappy romance movies. Name one. Your favorite.
The Notebook's pretty good.
Okay. Best advice that you ever received.
We are not powerful enough to screw up God's plans for us.
Got it. Best advice you ever gave.
It'll be okay.
Okay. Keep it simple, right?
Yep.
Your favorite Old Testament prophet?
Deborah.
Okay. And your favorite book of the Bible?
The Gospel of John.
Gospel of John. And if you could be any place, where would it be?
Totally present wherever I am, just fully there.
Yep, perfect. I like that. Being at St. Joe's is?
One of the biggest blessings of my life.
Yeah, me too. Good. You said your favorite Old Testament prophet was Deborah.
Yeah.
Why?
We don't really get a whole lot about her life from the Bible, but the things that she is able to accomplish and do for the people is, like, very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just, I don't know, it gives me hope that even if we, or like all the people that we don't know who have made such a huge impact in the world in some way.
Yeah. Strong female character from the Bible. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you for those brief glimpses into you. And before we go further, I said in the header that I gave your title, but what, what do you, how long have you been here and what do you do here at St. Joe's?
I teach religious education or religious studies. And I've been here since January of 2020.
Okay.
And
came for COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really bonded me, I think, with the kids and just being able to endure that together. And yeah, I do a lot of different things as far as connecting like culture with faith. And I think it's one of the best jobs on campus.
Yeah.
I get a lot of creative freedom to try new things with the students, and I try to kind of give them the leadership. So taking their input in what they want to learn and how they want to grow and kind of working together to help them reach that.
Yeah. And you work with all of the students here on campus?
Yep. So first through eighth grade, and then I help with the high school program on Sundays as well.
Okay. And mostly in the classroom setting, but I think this will lead nicely into where we're headed with this, is that you actually do a lot outside of the classroom setting too. And so this, let's follow the path, if you will, and we'll see, because I think that also fits nicely into to where we're going to go with this. You're here today because like the movie title, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah. And so our audience doesn't have a clue what mm-hmm. you did. Could you fill them in a little bit about what this has looked like for you in the last summer?
Yeah. So I started this pilgrimage. It's called the Camino de Santiago. And I did the French way. There's many different routes throughout Spain. But I started in this little town, Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. It's right on the edge of France. And then you move into Spain across the Pyrenees Mountains. And the whole journey from Saint-Jean to Santiago is about 500 miles. So yeah, it's a pilgrimage, and people walk it for all sorts of different reasons. But it started out quite a few centuries ago. And so St. James, or the Apostle James, he did quite a bit of preaching over in the area of Spain. And a lot of people would consider him unsuccessful because he only gained a handful of followers. And so he had this vision and ended up going back to Jerusalem. And then he was martyred there. And so eventually his remains were brought to Spain by boat. And the legend says that angels were guiding the ship. Like, there was nobody else on the ship. It was just angels guiding the ship back to Spain. And then there was a big cathedral built, and that's where his remains are said to be. And so thousands of people every day end up in Santiago to visit this cathedral. And it's just a very cool thing from my position, seeing people going to this massive cathedral for this amazing saint. They may not even be religious, but like, they're still going and they're still having this experience that's going to change their life in some way. And as a teacher, it's a very good reminder for me, knowing that like, St. James probably did not expect that he would have this huge cathedral built in his honor. But it's just like, we just plant the seeds as teachers, mm-hmm. and God does the growing. So yeah, it's very amazing.
I like that you've made that connection with that experience and mm-hmm. in his work back to sort of what you do here, yeah. which is really nice. But I have the question. So a lot of people make the pilgrimage to Santiago mm-hmm. to see the church, right?
Yep.
Well, wouldn't that be enough to go to Spain and to see it? Where does it come in that you do the walk, that you make the pilgrimage? Mm-hmm. How does it extend from let's visit this church to?
Yeah. So I think the walking just kind of comes from back in the day when people wanted to go see this cathedral. They didn't have cars or trains or buses to take back then, so they did walk. And as they walked, I mean, there's no way that, in my opinion, there's no way that you can do this walk and not be changed or be enlightened in some way.
Okay.
And so I think from that, it just gained a lot of popularity as this way to contemplate where you're at in your mm-hmm. life. And yeah, I definitely experienced that for myself.
Yeah. So the pilgrimage is basically mm-hmm. a 500-mile walk to reach mm-hmm. the church, correct? So you're everything leads to Santiago.
Yep.
I'm understanding this right. So you started in France mm-hmm. and you began to walk across the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Now, off air, you told me that, because I look at that and I think, geez, you're up on top of mountain peaks, yeah. like a Yeti going up and down. But you said it's almost like South Dakota. It's almost prairie ground, or am I?
So after the Pyrenees, it's pretty just kind of rolling hills. But the Pyrenees, like the first day, it was 15 or 15 and a half miles, and we gained over 400 feet of elevation.
Okay.
And as I went into it, I was like, oh, Did I say 400 feet or 4,000?
You said 400.
Oh, okay. I meant 4,000.
4,000 feet of elevation. Yeah, yeah. That's a little more staggering. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I think of 4,000 feet, I didn't think of it as a lot. Because, you know, like a foot's about that big.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to thinking in yards.
Oh, yeah.
For, you know, football and whatever. So 4,000 feet, I was like, oh, that 4,000 times, that's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, carrying a backpack with your life on it and over 15 miles, and most of it was like straight uphill. Yeah. So
at altitude.
Yeah. 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 So it was more than I was expecting.
And so what ended up happening with you?
At one point, I sat down and I cried a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is going to be hard. Like, I felt like I wanted to give up, but, like, I was like, I know that from every hard thing in my life, like, I just have to push through,
mm-hmm.
and it'll get better, and I'll be stronger, and it'll be fine, but I just need to take this moment and, like, have that give up mentality.
Right. Break down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
And it just set me up for the rest of the experience. Like, I got mentally stronger through that day, and everything else felt pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and that's part of the hero's journey, too, you know? I mean, you're there to pray, contemplate, mm-hmm. reflect, and transform, right?
Yeah.
And change. And you went by yourself.
Yeah.
Totally. You jumped on a plane, went there, met people on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it a line of people that do the walk, or is it random people that you meet along the way, like the Appalachian Trail or something like that?
So there's spurts of people.
Yeah.
And once you get to the Meseta stage, you definitely spread out a little bit more. Some people skip that stage completely.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, some people are also taking rest days to just kind of, you know, help their body recover from that first week of just really tough days.
Yep.
There were, that first day, there was quite a few people passing me, which was like, I was getting really down on myself. But once I got to my village that I was staying at for the night, I was like, that's all I need. Like, I made it.
Yeah.
First day is done. Just worry about tomorrow.
Yeah. And this kind of walk for you is nothing new, right? I mean, you've done that here at St. Joe's as well. But you how old were you when you came to St. Joe's?
I was 21.
21. And I came at 25, and I knew nothing, and it was all about, you know, bringing stuff. And 21's a pretty tender young age to begin your career in a place like this, where there's so much to learn and so much culture to soak in. But these walks are kind of your sweet spot in a little way, because you've had the privilege. I talked about going outside of the classroom, and over the last maybe 3 years, I know you've gone on these cultural trips that we do with the seventh graders, where you make a pilgrimage with the kids to their ancestral grounds, I guess, for as a way to put it. And you've hiked Bear Butte, you've hiked
Black Elk Peak. Yep. Walking around Mato Tipila. I mean, I enjoy walking. And it's funny to me now how I've learned to embrace walking, because in my younger days, I'd say I'm going to go for a walk, and it would turn into a run because I was just, like, so impatient.
Yeah.
But especially walking the Camino, I was like, okay, like, just slow down. Why be in a rush?
Not many people get to do this seventh grade cultural trip, and it is such a major part of what we do at St. Joe's Indian School. I would call it one of the top five probably things that happen here. And I think a lot of the seventh graders would say the same thing, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a pilgrimage, much like what you did this summer, your pilgrimage to you know, complete study and complete some work on yourself to do this 500-mile walk to get to a church in Santiago to see the shrine to James. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for these kids being able to make that pilgrimage to their homelands,
yes.
places that were taken from them, places that were stolen from them through broken treaties and whatnot, and to actually, I always call it a living classroom, to have a living classroom in these places. And you got to be a part of both of those things, and
yeah.
which is really neat. Do you have anything to say about that?
So the comparison between the Spain pilgrimage and the cultural trip is just, like, it was so cohesive, I think. Like, getting to see all of these churches and buildings that were built centuries ago, and, like, we don't have that. Mm-hmm. In America, really. Like, America is a fairly new country as the United States, but experiencing the Native American culture and being able to learn, and, like, especially Lorraine, she's taught me a lot about everything. Mm-hmm. With the Lakota culture. And so being over there and talking with other people from the United States, I was able to help educate them as well. Like, when they would say, oh, like, this is really amazing, we don't have anything, like, we don't have any traditions that are this old.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
actually, yeah. And just being able to share about my job here. And, it was a great reminder of how awesome and how unique what I do is, because people would say, oh, wow, that's really amazing. And I do this every day, so it's my ordinary.
Yeah.
And so having that reminder, I was like, yeah, what I do is really awesome.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a great connection and being able to weave those worlds together.
I said in the header that we talked about a scallop shell.
Yeah.
I know very little about how that relates, but there's mm-hmm. a relation to your walk, the Camino, mm-hmm. and for those who don't know
yeah.
me, can you just explain the significance of the scallop shell?
Yeah, so there's a few different like explanations or things that are related to the scallop shell. As I had said, there's many different routes that you can take. Like, there's some from southern Spain up, there's some along the coast and from Portugal and mm-hmm. all over. And so the scallop shell with all of the ribs that it has,
mm-hmm.
Those kind of represent those different routes and all leading back to that one spot.
Okay.
Being Santiago. And so that's one. Another is that those ribs kind of look like fingers of a hand. And as you walk, there are different opportunities to accept help from total strangers and give help when needed. And I definitely experienced both ends. And it's a good way to humble yourself and just give. And then a third explanation or connection with the scallop shell is baptism. So in baptism, a shell is often used to pour the water. Mm-hmm. And baptism is a sign of new life. And yeah, like walking this pilgrimage, you do come back new in some way, mm-hmm. I would say.
So is the scallop, I see what the scallop shell yeah. represents for sure, mm-hmm. and that makes sense to me. Is it also a physical thing? Do you carry a scallop shell on the walk? Do people
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, so a lot of people will hang it on their backpack, like showing that they are a pilgrim on this journey.
Okay.
And, I mean, you usually can tell because they've got their backpack on, and oftentimes their laundry is hanging off their backpack.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a symbol that shows that you're on your way.
Okay. And you mentioned that one of the representation, one thing that the shell represents is accepting help and giving help.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you mentally and spiritually, you had early doubts about whether you could complete the journey.
Mm-hmm.
you also had physical problems on this journey too. So for anybody, 500 miles is going to be a major physical undertaking.
Yeah.
You set out and about, tell the story about, I won't give any spoilers, but tell what happened with you physically.
So I went into this with the mindset that I wasn't going to take any rest days unless I woke up in the morning and I couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was a little prideful of me.
Mm-hmm. was the spoiler, by the way. Unless you woke up and couldn't walk.
Yeah. Okay. So I started, and after like that first week, my body was starting to get adjusted. I was feeling really good, and I was crushing miles and feeling good.
Yeah.
And then, so I started May 31st was my first day of walking. And then June 23rd, I started to have really bad foot pain. And I was like, I've never felt a foot pain like this before. And, you know, every day your feet start to hurt after, 10 miles or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I'll get to my village for the night and rest, and it'll be better by the morning, because that's what I had been experiencing was, it's going to hurt, and then sleep, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking with a couple of Italian guys, and it was getting to the point where I was bawling, and I could not take it anymore. And they're like, oh, we've only got 5 kilometers to go. And it's like, okay, I can push through. It's only 5 kilometers. And we were in this small village before our stopping point for the day. And I was starting to shut down. And my friend Roberto was like, well, I'll carry your pack for you. And so he carried my backpack, and we would stop at the top of every hill. And then it seemed like at every hill, he's like, oh, we're only like 0.5 kilometer away.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that pushed me to go or like got in my head, like we made it. And I rested, tried to,
mm-hmm.
and woke up the next morning. And I was like, well, it's still painful, but I can walk. And so we started walking, and it started to hurt a lot. And we made it to that first village, and I was like, I can't walk anymore. Like, I'm going to seriously mess something up. And so just, like, trying to listen to my body and not be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And so then rested a few days, and then I took a bus to catch up with my friends, and I got some different shoes, and I was like, I'm feeling good, like, I just take a little bit to get back into it. Then I walked 17 miles and it was really hurting again. I was like, oh no, mm-hmm. like I was starting to come with the reality that this is not going to be the experience that I wanted it to
mm-hmm.
be. And I had met this really nice guy he was a Brazilian guy. He lived in Germany. And I was really battling with, like, not being able to walk the entire thing. It's like, no, I'm a pilgrim. I need to walk. Like, this isn't, I'm not taking a bus tour of Spain.
Right.
And I just felt like it was cheating in some way. And Fernando said, why is it cheating? Like, your goal is to get to Santiago. Do what you need to do to get there. And so that really, like, humbled me, and I walked as much as I could, and then realized, like, okay, I need to just walk enough to get to, or bus ahead enough to get to a little village outside of Santiago. And then I walked in with my friends. And then, I came back and found out it was broken.
Yeah, right. So it started as a fresh stress fracture, you said, and then found out that it was broken.
Yeah. So...
So how many miles did you actually walk before you were unable to?
Let's see. I walked about 459 miles total. and I think about 70 to 75 with the hurt foot.
Oh, so close.
So, yeah.
After a month yeah. in, you found out, well, yeah. we're thankful to have you at St. Joe's, and we're also thankful to have you in the studio here today at Ho-Choka. So thanks for joining us, Kim.
Thank you.
Great story. You're a rock star. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you to our audience as well for joining us here in Ho-Choka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School campus, where we talk about issues that are central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.